from the Word of God. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of mourning, you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are priests forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore he shall lift up the head. And from Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word. Not from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. And from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Psalm 110 is, quite frankly, a difficult psalm. It is one that scholars and theologians have debated over, I reckon, ever since David wrote it. And the common consensus seems to be that in the psalm, it's talking about Jesus. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And throughout the rest of that psalm, it talks about the conquering Christ, who shall indeed put all enemies under his feet. Vance Havner is a preacher of days gone by. A great preacher, told a story one time of some little boys in Africa who were playing marbles in the dirt by a creek. They were poor little boys. They didn't have real marbles, and they were playing with rocks. But it turned out that those rocks that they were using for marbles were diamonds. And that's what we have in today's scripture. Spiritual diamonds that could be mistaken for ordinary rocks. On the surface, this seems like a pretty obscure passage. But when we take a closer look, we see Jesus, our greatest hope. First of all, I want you to think about Jesus as our greatest truth. In the passage from Matthew, it was only two or three days before the cross. And three groups who were openly opposed to Jesus and had been openly opposed to him from the time he began his public ministry had been trying to trick Jesus into saying something that would be against the Roman authorities or against God's law. The Herodians asked him, is it right to pay taxes? Thinking if he says yes, then the Jews will be mad at him. And if he says no, the Romans will arrest him because he's being seditious, denying the right to pay taxes. The Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection, asked Jesus a question about the resurrection. There was a man who had a wife. He died. She married his brother. He died. She married the brother. And there were seven brothers. And then she died. And whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? And Jesus said, "You don't know the truth of God. You don't know the Word of God. Because in heaven they neither marry nor are given in marriage." And that was one scripture that Kyle's mom, my mom, always fretted about. "You mean I won't be married to Melvin in heaven?" And we'd always say, "Mom, you'll have to ask that when you get there." And the third group was the Pharisees, and they asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was. And Jesus told them, "What's it say in the law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second one's like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Well, with these questions and these questioners, we come to the Pharisees and Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Christ?" That's the most important question we'll ever have to answer. Who do you think? What do you think about the Christ? And the right answer is Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Lord of all. And you've gotten that question right. Tragically, the Pharisees got that question wrong. They believed the Christ was the Son of God, was the Son of David, but they rejected Jesus as the Christ. I read a story this week about a preacher by the name of Alvin Jackson, an African-American man who was a new freshman at Morehouse University, down the road next door in Atlanta, a historically black men's college, liberal arts college. Jackson walked into class on the first day of a philosophy class, sat down, and as professors do on the first day of class, passed out the syllabus, told them where they were going to go, what they were going to do in the class that day, in that quarter, that semester, what would be expected of them. And then the professor said, "When we cover the subject of Jesus, you must know this. What you have heard about Jesus in Sunday school or at your church is wrong. Jesus was a great teacher. He was a wise man. He did many good things. He influenced many people during his day and even to this day. But he was not the Son of God." There was a long pause, and the atmosphere grew tense, and finally Alvin lifted his hand to speak. And when he was called on, Alvin Jackson said, "Yes, he is." The professor responded to Alvin by saying, "Now I know you've probably been told other things back home by your pastor or your Sunday school teacher, but you need to know, young man, you need to know that Jesus was not the Son of God. He was merely a great thinker." And with that, the professor dismissed the class. Well, the next time the class met, the professor started his tirade all over again. He said that the Bible was written by people who are biased toward Jesus, that there were other people in history who were reported to have been born of a virgin, that Jesus could not have risen from the dead, and he said Jesus was not the Son of God. Immediately, Alvin's hand went up again. And the professor tried to ignore him as he went on with his anti-Jesus message, but Alvin persisted. And finally, the professor called on Alvin with sarcastic words, "Yes, Mr. Jackson, do you have another sermon for us this morning?" And Alvin responded with just the same faith answer he'd given before, "Yes, he is." And the professor turned his attack from Jesus to to Alvin Jackson. And it continued throughout the whole semester. And Alvin continued to say, yes, he is. Jesus is the Son of God. Well, years later, Alvin Jackson is now a preacher. He is preaching at the denominational meeting of his denomination, the annual gathering of his denomination. And after his sermon, some people came up to talk to him, and then the crowd had left. That old college professor walked up to Alvin and hugged him. The old professor looked Alvin in the eyes and said the same words that his former student had said to him all those times. Yes, he is. Alvin's old professor had finally opened up to the truth, and he was saved. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He is Lord of all. And He is our greatest truth. Secondly, Jesus is our greatest triumph. In Psalm 110, verse 1, God the Father said to God the Son, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Jesus had enemies, has enemies, and we're still in the struggle that brought destruction and death ever since Satan rebelled against God. We face this opposition that's dangerous and determined, so we must not be surprised at growing hostility towards Christians. And it's growing. In Canada, it's almost gotten to the point where Christianity is outlawed. Because if you stand in a pulpit in Canada and preach that homosexuality is wrong, you'll be charged with a hate crime, arrested and charged with a hate crime. I wonder how far behind America is to that. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul revealed our true enemies. "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood," he said, "but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." The devil is our true enemy. And in these days, he has a massive following and growing influence in the world and many, many followers. And in John 15, 18, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." But God the Father has already said to God the Son, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." And in those days, one of the greatest humiliations that could be put on a conquered king was for him to be forced to lay on the ground, and the victorious king, sitting on his throne, place his feet on the head and neck of the defeated king. And God has already said to his Son, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." God's Word confirms our sure victory. That passage we read from John 16, spoken on the night before the cross, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, we can overcome because Jesus has already overcome. This victory is absolutely sure for anyone who puts their trust in Jesus Christ. Our victory is so sure that in Romans chapter 8, Paul told the believers there, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Anna Osvoboda was just 15 years old when she was kidnapped by the Nazis, taken from her home in Poland, and taken to be a slave laborer on a farm in Germany run by the Nazis. And from that prison farm, Anna could look up on a hill beside of the farm, the prison farm, the slave farm, and see the Nazi headquarters and the swastika flying above the headquarters. And one day, the flag was different. Anna didn't know what it meant, but somebody explained, that's the British flag. And it made all the difference when Anna realized the victory has already been won. And Jesus won our eternal victory when He died on the cross for our sins, and God the Father raised Him from the dead. God wants us to realize we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And literally what Paul says in that passage of Scripture is, you are overcomers through Him who loved us. Jesus is our greatest triumph. And thirdly, Jesus is our greatest trust. Returning to Psalm 110 verse 1, and one little word David said, the Lord said to my Lord. David had trusted in the Lord, so he could say this about the coming Messiah, the Son of God. He's not just the Lord God Almighty of the whole universe. He is my Lord. And in the first verse of Psalm 23, David says it again. The Lord is my shepherd. In other words, I belong to Him and He belongs to me. And that's what Jesus has given to every believer by turning to our crucified and risen Savior, by trusting Him, by receiving Him as Lord and Savior, we get a relationship with God that lasts forever. One more story. Comes from England from many years ago, when a Christian man was walking through the countryside and he came upon a young boy who was tending sheep. And the sight made the man think of Psalm 23, and he asked the boy, do you know Psalm 23? And the boy said, no, sir, I do not. And the man began to explain who the Good Shepherd is. And he talked about the cross of Christ and how Jesus, the Good Shepherd, laid down His life for the sheep. And then he used his hand, his fingers, to help the boy remember the first line. He pointed to each digit as he spoke and said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And then he said, when you come to that word my, grip that fourth finger tightly with your other hand and never forget that the Lord is not only a shepherd, but your shepherd. Well, that following winter there was a terrible snowstorm and the boy and his sheep got lost in the blizzard and were not found until it was too late. But when the search uncovered the young shepherd, he had a hold of that finger, my shepherd, holding on tight, just as the man had said. Jesus is our greatest truth, our greatest triumph, our greatest trust. And as the title of this message this morning says, our greatest hope. The preacher to the Hebrews said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope is not pie in the sky by and by. The Bible says it is substance, actuality, concreteness, element, fabric, texture, authenticity, validity, strength, assurance, confirmation, proof. Faith in Jesus Christ is our greatest hope. Maybe sometime today, take a hold of that ring finger. The Lord is my shepherd. My greatest truth, my greatest triumph, my greatest trust, my greatest hope. Amen.